Today, as we celebrate this glorious solemnity of the Most Holy Trinity, we, of course, celebrate also our patronal feast today. It's pretty normal that people in a parish would know all about their patron saint. So I thought we would have a quiz and see how you do if we ask some questions about the Holy Trinity. And then I thought about it again and decided, well, since the Holy Trinity is an absolute mystery, probably wouldn't be a good idea. So what do we mean by an absolute mystery? What that means is that the Holy Trinity is a mystery that surpasses the ability of our intellects to be able to understand, not only in this world, but for the rest of eternity. Now, some people look at that and say, well, that doesn't sound right. How would God make it so that we wouldn't be able to grasp him fully? What that means is that for the rest of eternity, assuming that we get to heaven, we will be looking right into the very essence of God himself. And there will always be infinitely more. People think heaven is going to be boring. I can assure you there will not be one split second of boredom in heaven, because you are going to be absorbed, well, not actually absorbed into, but you will be looking right into the very essence of God. Your mind will be completely filled with the truth of God. Your heart will be completely filled with the love of God. And for all eternity, you will be filled to the fullness of your ability, knowing and loving, and there will always be infinitely more. And so it's not a ripoff, it's a glorious reality. God is infinite and he's eternal. Our minds are finite, so the finite obviously cannot absorb the infinite. But there will always be more truth and more love for us to be able to enter into. Now that said, we have to first understand that the Trinity is the most difficult area in all of theology to be able to understand. So I'm not going to stand up here and try and explain to you the Trinity in a way that you can grasp it, because we can't, pure and simple. It gets very complicated. It is very difficult. And yet it's not really necessary that you know the ins and outs of the Holy Trinity. What is necessary is that you understand that there is only one God. The Holy Trinity is not three gods. The Holy Trinity is not like three of us who are sitting here in the same pew. There is only one. And yet, the Holy Trinity is three persons. Now again, we look at that and say, how can three be one? This doesn't make any sense. It makes sense if you understand the fact that God is absolutely perfect. And we have to understand that in an absolute sense. That means that he is lacking in nothing and that nothing can be added to him. Now, God is revealed in several different ways. God is revealed to us as life. God is revealed to us as truth. God is revealed to us as love. Now, maybe a way of understanding this then is to begin with the principle that you are made in the image and likeness of God. Now, naturally, you're going to say, but there's only one of me. Obviously, I'm not a Trinity. No, you're not. But your soul is purely spiritual. Your body obviously is not. So if we look at it and say, all right, you have a soul which is the principle of life. Jesus says of God the Father that the Father has life in himself. God is life. Your soul has two faculties, a mind and a will. The mind is made for the truth. The will is made for love. And so we look at the Trinity, We have life, we have truth, we have love. Your soul is life, truth, and love. Your soul doesn't have three parts. Your soul is pure spirit. There are no parts. It cannot be pulled apart in any way. Neither can the Holy Trinity. The three are one. And the reason that they are one, again, you begin with the principle that they are absolutely perfect. That means that they are identical. If there are two things that are absolutely and perfectly identical, then they're the same. So we have three who are absolutely identical. The three persons love one another perfectly. Therefore, they are one. Now, if that's the case, then again, the natural question is to say, but then why do you say that there are three? Because God is love. Think about it. If you take yourself and you say, okay, God made me in his image and likeness, which means he made me to love and to be loved. So therefore, I'm just going to stare in the mirror and love myself. That's called narcissism. It's mental illness. It is not what you're created for. Love is about someone else. Yes, you are made to love someone else. You are made to be loved by someone else. And so if God the Father was alone, as we hear, for instance, in the first reading, when he reveals himself to Moses, and he makes clear that there is only one God. He reveals his holy name, says Lord, but Lord isn't actually the word that's there. It's the holy name of God that's there. And he says, a merciful and gracious God. A merciful and gracious God. There aren't more than one. Every other society in human history at that point believed in a multiplicity of gods. God was revealing himself to the Jewish people that there is only one. That's what set the Jewish people apart from everyone else on the face of the earth. They believed that there was only one God. As things went along, God revealed himself more fully. He revealed himself as a Trinity. He sent his Son into the world, as we heard in the second reading. And we have also the Holy Spirit, whom the Son has sent. Now, we would look at it naturally and say, but if someone has a Son, that means that there is a separate person who has a separate life. In other words, if a married couple here has a son, you would say that the life of that child began at the moment of conception. The child didn't exist prior to that. But that's not what we're talking about in God. Please understand, all three persons are eternal. So it's not like God the Father was sitting up there by himself because there's only one God, and he was just totally narcissistic and in love with himself. No, that didn't happen. And it's not like he was sitting up there bored one day and said, you know what? It'd be nice if I had a son. I think I'll create one. That's not what happened. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all eternal, which means they are not created. None of them are created. Not even a split second between. It's not like the Father started existing, then the Son started, then the Holy Spirit started. No, they don't have a beginning, and they will not have an end. That's what it means to call them eternal. There is no beginning. There will be no end. So all three are eternal. Jesus, because he took a human nature, his human nature has a beginning in time at the moment that he was conceived. But as God, he's eternal. So So the second person of the Trinity has existed from all eternity. When he took a human nature to himself, that began at the moment of his conception in our Blessed Lady's womb, but not his divinity. That's eternal. So we have the three persons of the Trinity who love, because that's what God is. St. John says it just that simply in his first letter. He says simply, God is love. Period. So, want to think of it as the Father loves the Son and the Holy Spirit is the love between them? That's one way of thinking about it. But the fact is, we just simply have to understand there's just the one God in three persons. Now, when we talk about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that's to help us to understand. We can talk about them in other ways. We can say, well, the Father is the Creator, and the Son is the Redeemer, and the Holy Spirit is the Sanctifier. That's not actually true. All three create. All three sanctify. All three redeem. So again, we can make those distinctions for us to understand, but that doesn't actually apply to God per se. Also, when we're talking about the Holy Trinity, it applies only to God as he is in heaven. In other words, anything outside of that, all three persons work together. Because again, there's only one, so you can't have one going in a different direction than another one. They can't be separated because their unity is perfect. So when St. Paul, for instance, says that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit, the reality is you're a temple of the Holy Trinity. The Holy Spirit can't dwell in you by himself because the Father and the Son are with him. We know that the Holy Eucharist is Jesus, but it's not just the Son of God, because the Father and the Holy Spirit are there with him. So when you receive Holy Communion, yes, you receive the body, the blood, the soul, and the divinity of Jesus, but the divinity is shared equally with the Father and the Holy Spirit. So you receive the Holy Trinity into yourself when you receive Holy Communion. When you adore the Lord in the Holy Eucharist, you're adoring the Holy Trinity. So again, these things are hard to grasp. They're difficult for our mind to understand. And I'm not even giving any of the complicated stuff. This is the easy part to understand about the Trinity, and it's not easy. But thankfully, just as we didn't start with a quiz today, on the day of your judgment, it's not going to be a quiz either. God's not going to ask you if you can explain the Holy Trinity, because we can't. What he's going to ask you is if you believe in the Holy Trinity. Because that is what sets us apart from everyone else on the face of the earth. The Jewish people, as I mentioned, were the first to be able to believe that there is only one God. The Muslims claim that they believe in the same God as Abraham. That's not quite true, but that's what they would claim. So they say that they believe that there is only one God. We say that there is only one God. So those are the three religions in the world that believe in only one God. But Christianity is the only one who believes in the Trinity. And again, we have to understand why. Because God is love. Like I said, you can't be in love with yourself. That's narcissism. So love by its nature requires that there has to be at least a second. But as those of you who are married will understand, you can be absolutely head over heels, madly in love with one another. And yet, that love has to find an expression. It has to overflow because just sitting there staring at each other and being in love with each other isn't going to be enough. There has to be more. And so it is with God. We have the Father and the Son who are totally in love with one another. And that overflows into the Holy Spirit. God is only three. There aren't any more. There can't be any more. So he is one. There is only one God. But because God is love, there have to be three. Otherwise, he can't be defined as love. That's what he's looking for then from us. He made us to know the truth. He gave us a mind. He made us to love. He gave us a will. He made us for life. That's what our soul is. That's what eternity is going to be. That's what this life is supposed to be about then, preparing ourselves for eternity, conforming ourselves more and more to God, to be able to have, as Jesus said, he came that we would have life and that we would have it abundantly. He told us that the Holy Spirit will lead us into all truth. He has poured out his love through the Holy Spirit into our hearts. So he wants us to have his life, his truth, his love. He wants us to be fulfilled, because that's the only way we will be fulfilled, is when we're doing what we were created to do. And that's to be like God, to have life, to have it abundantly, and to live the truth in love. That's who we were created to be, in the image and likeness of God, who is a Trinity. So when it comes right down to it, it's pretty simple. What we have to believe is there is only one God, he is three persons, and that's it. And if you can understand at least that, well, I can't understand it, but if you can at least accept that and say, that is what I believe, because God is love, he is truth, he is life, just like my soul, truth, life, and love. That's what we're for. That's what we're supposed to be about. Made in the image and likeness of God, who is love. So too for us, to be able to unite ourselves in love, to live the truth in love. So as members of a parish where our patron is the Holy Trinity, if we are to become more and more like our patron, that's what he wants. The fullness of truth, the fullness of life, the fullness of love.